That is all we need. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter number 11. We've been studying through the Word of God together. You know, we need to rejoice tonight that we have a copy of God's Word with us. Aren't you glad you hold the Word of God in your hand tonight? Glory. I mean, we have a copy of the preserved, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God for the English-speaking people in the King James Version. Somebody say amen right there. Glory. I'm glad and happy and excited that we have the Bible tonight. And I tell you, this is where our authority comes from right here. We don't need to be afraid of man or demons or anybody if we have the Word of God with us tonight. We simply open it and preach it for what it says. I'm excited He called me to preach, friends. I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm sure thankful He called me, no question about it. And we appreciate you being here. Now, Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1. We've come to this chapter now. Last time we preached in this book, we preached on the sin of drunkenness and disrespect. Aren't you glad I'm through with that one for a little while, right? Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. If you mark your Bible, there's a phrase in verse number 2. It's the title of my message tonight. It's the phrase, in the land of Shinar. In the land of Shinar. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but I'm just going to act like I know how it is and go on with it, right? In the land of Shinar. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Help us now. May the will of God be done in this service. Thank You that we know that we hold the very Word of God in our hands tonight. We give You the glory for that, the honor for that. Thank You that You've not only inspired Your Word, but You preserved it down through the centuries. And I thank You that we have a copy of Your Word tonight. Help us now to be faithful in preaching it, teaching it, and simply saying what You've already said. Preach to us tonight, I beg You now, through me, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the last time we met in this book, we finished up chapter 9, in which we saw the sin of drunkenness by Noah and disrespect by one of his sons. Chapter 10 is a listing of the beginning of nations through Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And as we come to chapter 11, we see the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now in this, we see these people were united together. They journeyed and they found a plain, the Bible says, in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Now, while they were in this land, we see a story take place that we can learn some practical lessons from. Now, as we bring out these three major things I see tonight in the land of Shinar, ask God to speak to your heart. Now, again, remember that facts in the Word of God are great to know, but God doesn't give us the Bible just to learn facts. He gives us the Bible to change our life. In other words, these facts that He gives us in these nine verses, He wants them to speak to you, and He's trying to get us to learn something to help us in our everyday life today. Now, I want you to be in search for that. I hope we answer it as we preach through it. But ask God to speak to your heart. Let us be ready tonight to say yes to whatever God has to say for us. May I say to you that He deserves our best. And what I mean by that is no matter what he says to us and what he wants us to do, our answer should already be, yes, sir, I'll do that. Now, this being the case, let's dig in. In the land of Shinar, there are three major things we see. Number one, in the land of Shinar, there was sinful ambition. Now, we see this in the first four verses of this chapter here. And since I've read it here, I'm not going to read it again. But in these first four verses, we see the people coming together to build a city and a tower that they said whose top may reach unto heaven, to make themselves a name in order to stay together and not be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, there may be somebody thinking tonight, what's the big deal about all of that? What's the problem with that? Well, let us consider some thoughts here under this to show us how this ambition they had was not a good ambition, it was a sinful ambition. They were trying to make themselves a name, they were trying to stay together, and they were trying to build a city and tower that went all the way up to heaven. And we see in this that this was a sinful ambition. Let me tell you why. First of all, under this, we're still under point number one. First of all, under this, it was rebellion against God's clear command. My friends, listen to me. After the flood waters dried up, the Lord commanded Noah and his sons in chapter 9, verse 1, he commanded them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what he said. In other words, the Lord shared his desire with these people to go throughout the whole earth and repopulate it and replenish it. When they came together to build this place, they brought out their desire to stay together and not be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Do you see what they're doing here? This is clear rebellion against the revealed will of God at this time. He told them, I want you to scatter. I want you to go around the earth, and I want you to replenish it. I want you to repopulate it. But now in the land of Shinar, a place that they liked and they wanted to stay, they decide to get together and say, we're not going to be scattered. We're not going to go around the earth. We're going to stay in this one central location. In this, we see rebellion against God. My friends, listen to me. Any ambition to do something that is against the will of God is sinful. It is not right. No matter how it may look to man, if it is in defiance to the will of God, it is wrong and must be rejected. Are you listening to me? There are some ambitions potentially in this room tonight. People who have a desire, in other words. All desires are not sinful. But if you're desiring something, if you are ambitious towards something that is against Scripture, it is sinful and it needs to be rejected. We're looking at in the land of Shinar, first of all, there was sinful ambition. We know that because number one, under that, it was rebellion against God. Number two, under that, it revealed a prideful heart. We see this because the desire of these people was to make a name for themselves. Now notice what the Bible says right here. It says in verse number 4, it says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Now in this we see their intent the whole time was to get honor to themselves instead of giving honor to God. They cared more about their name than the name of the mighty God upon whom they should have been serving. This desire was rooted with pride. Now get this, they wanted to build this tower that would stand in defiance to God and God's will. It was an attempt to cast God off and become a god to themselves and to acknowledge nobody above themselves. Now listen to me tonight. This is so simple it's ridiculous, and I understand that. But we all must be on guard against pride that lives inside of every one of us. This pride has self sitting on the throne instead of God. Pride acts according to what seems to be best for self instead of submitting to the authority of Almighty God. Proverbs 8:13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." We're looking at this now, that the first thing in the land of Shinar, we see there was a sinful ambition, and we know it was sinful because it was rebelling against God. It revealed a prideful heart. And number three, it was their effort to reach heaven their own way. No question about it. These people were trying to take man-made materials of brick and mortar. Man had to make brick back in this day. God created stone, but if you wanted brick, man had to make brick. So they were taking man-made materials to make something that they could reach heaven with. This was man's projected desire to go upward. And in this we see man's failed attempt to reach heaven in their own way instead of the way that God has made. Friends, there are multitudes of people today around the world making this same mistake. God has one way and one way only to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. However, there are people trying to make it to heaven some other way. May I say this to you? Don't make the mistake of believing you can make it to heaven your own way. Only those who come by the way of the cross will make it to heaven some glorious day. It breaks my heart tonight to think of the people who are being led astray today by some man-made idea of how they can reach heaven some glorious day. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way, He always has been the only way, and He always will be the only way, and there's still men who are trying to concoct their own theories that everybody's just going to meet in heaven in different roads. In other words, you choose whatever suits you, all roads lead home. That is not true. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell itself, my friends. I'm telling you, there is one way to heaven. And His name is Jesus Christ. His name is not Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. His name is not baptism. His name is not good works. His name is not church membership. His name is not turning over a new leaf. His name is being born again by Jesus Christ Himself. That's it. And I'm telling you, this was their effort to get all the way to heaven their own way. I like what Francis Schaeffer said, just to summarize this first point, in the land of Shinar, we see there was sinful ambition. They said the declaration of the men of Shinar to make a city, a tower, and a name for themselves may well be the first declaration of humanism. And I agree with that. I'm telling you, it was humans coming together saying, "We don't need God. We can reach heaven our own way, doing our own thing." They will soon learn otherwise. Number one, in the land of Shinar, we see there was sinful ambition. But number two, we see there was sovereign inspection. Notice verse number five. You know the Lord has a sense of humor. He really has a sense of humor. I was sharing this with the men's prayer meeting yesterday. And just something came out in my study, and it was like, you know, the Lord, it's just, He has to have a sense of humor. Because verse number five, notice it, "And the Lord came down to see the city of the tower," the city of the tower, "which the children of men built it." Now, to get the full effect, look at verse number four. "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and tower." Now, notice this, "whose top may reach unto heaven." And the next verse, and the Lord came down to look at it. Do you see that? I mean, here man is saying, let's come together, let's have a humanistic philosophy society meeting here, and let's make our own way to heaven, let's get our own bricks, let's get our own mortar, we don't need what God makes, we're going to get their own way, and they keep, and by the way, they say, it's going to be so big that it's going to go all the way to heaven, in the next verse, and God came down to look at it. Don't miss that point. There's a great thought right there. It's a funny one. What I'm saying to you is this, that in this we see the sovereign God of the universe came down to inspect what they had just made. The Bible says in verse number 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. He came down to look at it. God came down and just took a look at what these men and maybe some ladies, I don't know, were getting together and trying to make their way all the way up to Him. He came down to inspect it. Now there's a great thought that we learn here. You know what that is? We learn that God is supreme over man. These people had a desire to build something to heaven, but the Lord had to come down to look at it. This goes to show that no matter how high man thinks he can get, God is always higher. And our God is the highest and never will be below man. Never. Never will be. By the way, I had a gentleman, I think is from AFA, the American Family Association. I think is where this guy's from. He sent me a link to it was on a college campus. I don't know the name of the guy, whatever the case may be. But this guy was a homosexual, okay? And he was trying to Bible is a book of lies and all this kind of stuff, and he got up. And he was speaking, and I watched this video, and I got so upset, I was talking to this guy, and he's on the internet, like he could hear me. I mean, he's talking, and I'm saying, oh, you're wrong on that, you know. And I mean, good night, he can't hear me. I was just boiling up inside of me, you know. He's sitting there talking. There's Christians walking out on him. And he's using curse words, blaspheming the Bible. And he's saying ungodly, wicked things about God's precious word. Saying language and using words, and I'm sitting there, and it's boiling up inside me. The sad thing is all over that auditorium you could hear people applauding him. Woo! Yeah! Tell it like it is! That's in America, friends. That's not on foreign soil. That's here in this country. You listening to me? Man thinks they don't need God. That man, and we need to pray for him, God loves him as much as he loves me. He really does. Don't you tell me God's not a God of mercy. Don't you tell me God's not a God of grace. When he hears stuff like that and his precious son and his precious book being blasphemed and all of that, it's a wonder God doesn't strike him right now. But he doesn't do that because we're living in the age of grace, friends. God's arms are still open. And if that man will see the truth, repent of his sin and trust Christ, he can be saved just like you have been. But I'm saying this to you, that this sinful ambition, this sovereign inspection of where God had to come down, and God is above man, man still thinks he's above God. He still thinks his ways are higher than God. And he still thinks that God is some wimp down here, if he even exists at all, and that they don't need him. Can I say something to you? I don't want to ever get to that point in my life. I want to report to duty every day of my life, get on my face and say, God, thank you for another day. I need you today. If you don't help me, I'm a goner. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Sovereign inspection. You know what we learn from this sovereign inspection? That God is higher than anything. And as high as man thinks he can get, God still has to condescend to even look at it. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22:47, the Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. The Bible says in Psalm 97:9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. And I'm telling you something tonight, that this religion here, that's, yes, and I call it a religion. Humanism is a religion, my friends. And I'm telling you that this humanistic philosophy, it's still alive. There are still people who think that they're better than God and they don't need God and they can get to heaven their own way, do their own thing. Even though God wants them to do that, they say, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to stay together. I'm telling you, it's still alive. We see in the land of Shinar, number one, there was sinful ambition. There was sovereign inspection. But number three, there was speech confusion. We see this in verses 6-9. That what happened is when the Lord came down to inspect the city and tower, he said the people were united in their desire and language and that nothing would be restrained from them which they had imagined to do. We see the Holy Trinity right here. You see the Trinity in many parts of the Bible, but right here is one of them. It doesn't say, let me go down. It says, let us go down. You see, the Holy Trinity here decided to go down and confuse their speech with one another so they couldn't understand each other. Can you imagine what that day must have been? I mean, don't tell me the Lord doesn't have some kind of sense of humor, friends. Honestly. I mean, here they are, said, listen, we don't need God. We don't need anything he has to do. We can take our own man-made things. We can make it to heaven our way. Just forget God. Forget everything about him. Next thing they know, instead of it coming out, let's forget God. All this kind of stuff. What'd you say? What in the world was that? You say, what are you talking about? He changed their language to where they couldn't understand each other. And once he confused their language, he scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. J. Vernon McGee said this about the language barrier being so high. Said it is that which separates people and it's stronger than any national border and any ocean. I agree with that. If you've ever been in a country that they don't speak English and you're sitting there and they've got these crazy machine guns hanging on them in the airport, hopefully they're there for the bad guys, not the good guys, you understand? And you don't understand a word. And they're looking around, saying things. You're just looking at each other. What in the world? Somebody just tell me where the Coke is. You know, whatever the case may be. No wonder this place is called Babel. No wonder God named it. It's called Babel. You know what the word Babel means? Confusion. That's what it means. Now you say, Jody, what in the world can we learn from that? What in the world can we learn from God, the Holy Trinity, coming down and changing their language so that they can't understand each other and he scatters them abroad to fulfill his will and they stop building that tower and they stop building that Tower of Babel? What can we learn from that? There's a lot of things we can learn from it. Practical things. I like being practical, honestly. I like it when I leave and I preach that you say, here's what he said and I got it. This is what he said, and I understand that. Let me give you some of these thoughts under here. We've already looked so far that there were sinful ambition, and in that we saw that it was sinful because they were rebelling against God's command. It revealed the pride in their heart, and they were trying to get to God, get to heaven their own way. We've already seen the sovereign inspection in that even though man thinks he can be as high as God, God always has to lower himself to look at what man does, no matter how high he thinks he gets. And then he comes down and changes their language. Well, let's just do this. Boop, 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 boop. That's hilarious to me. I mean, it really is. Can you imagine the looks on their faces? Honestly. C- confused. Kind of like you all look at me every now and then when I'm preaching, right? Good. But what do we learn from this? How many things do I got here? 12? I'm kidding. There's three, all right? Three. Number one, practical application. I'm just applying some things. I'm not interpreting. I'm just implying some things. Number one, man has a fallen nature. Man has a fallen nature. The Lord had been so good to these people. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, these are their descendants. They didn't go through the flood. The flood had already gone. The wrath of God had already fallen. Their ancestors had been delivered from the worldwide flood. One would think that they would live a life of gratification to the God of heaven. The wickedness before the flood was wiped off the earth. They had a new beginning. But really nothing had changed. What I'm saying to you is this. Instead of them living a life of gratification, we see them on a pathway of self-destruction. They said, right here, the Lord said if they continued with what they were trying to do, He said that they would not be restrained from what they had imagined to do. By the way, the context tells you He wasn't talking about something good there, friends. He was talking about their thinking some ungodly things here. This simply goes to show that even though they were from the people preserved through the flood, and the wickedness before the flood had been destroyed, their heart had not been changed. They had a fallen nature just like those before the flood did. May I say something to you? It doesn't matter what the physical circumstances of man are. The nature is always the same. It is fallen, it is depraved, and it needs to be converted. Somebody says, well, I am the way I am because the way I was raised. Hogwash. Somebody says, well, if my circumstances were better, I think I'd be a little bit better too. Poppycock, whatever that is. That's an old Shelton Smith term, or two terms. I don't know if that's one word or two, whatever it is. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, if they would just do this in the public schools and even Christian schools, our kids would be safer. If they'll just teach self-ego and teach self-esteem. And the reason that kids are taking guns into school and blowing each other's brains out is because they just don't believe in themselves. Humanism. They just don't believe in themselves and they feel bad about themselves. And the reason they do that is because the way they were raised. Hog wash, friends. The reason it is the way it is because man's heart is alienated from God. It needs to be converted and saved. The Bible says in Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We learn that man's nature is evil. He's fallen by nature. Number two under this is all under the Lord coming down and confusing the language. We learn, secondly, that God will not share His glory with anybody. He will not share His glory with anybody. These people were trying to dethrone God, and they were trying to put themselves on the throne of their heart. And in this we see man was trying to be the recipient of the glory that only belongs to God. They were saying, let us make us a name. Let us be the big shots. Let us be the ones. Let us be the ones that people look to and say, look what they did. Look what they've done. They've reached all the way to heaven. They were trying to take the glory from God. My friends, listen to me. God always intervenes when His glory is trying to be robbed. God will not share His glory with anybody. He will not do it. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 48:11, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. God is a jealous God, friends. There may be children here who say, I don't understand it. I thought we weren't supposed to be jealous. Jealous means that it can mean two things here. The jealous that the children are thinking about are jealous of what somebody else has. You see what I'm saying? Covetous, not satisfied. What we mean by God being jealous is that He is the one who deserves all the glory. He is the one that deserves all the praise. And He doesn't want to see something that really is rightfully His being taken from Him and given to something else. God's a jealous God. Does He deserve our glory and our praise? He sure does. And we learn from this, when He came down to confuse the language, we learn from this that He does not share His glory with anybody. Then number three, we learn from this that God has great mercy and great grace. You say, what are you talking about? Some people may miss this when they study this. God brought this out in my own mind. That when He came down and He confounded their language, He confused their speech, He said before He ever came down, if we don't do this, they will not be restrained from whatever they desire to do. They'll keep on going down this road of destruction. They're going to self-destruct. They're going to destroy themselves unless we go down. Glory. And we intervene. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. The Lord knew if He left man to himself that it was sure to be self-destruction. He knew the wickedness and depravity in man. Therefore, He came down to these people and made it to where they would have the opportunity to do what was pleasing to Him. The Lord intervened and scattered these people by His grace and by His mercy. In the same way, praise the Lord's precious name tonight. When He saw mankind in sin and headed for certain destruction, man had sinned, man had broken God's law, and He knew that man left to their own sinful, depraved heart and their nature, that they would just go on and go on and go on and go on. There was no answer, there was no hope, there was no way of escape. They were headed towards the precipice. They were getting ready to fall. We were getting ready to fall into eternity without God. Yet God sent His only begotten Son down to where we are to take our place and give us the opportunity to be saved by His grace and live in heaven for all eternity. Thank God when we could not come to where He was, He came to where we were. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 puts it this way. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. He came down, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All I'm saying to you is this. I'm just applying this right here. That God realized and understood and knew that if he left these people alone and did not intervene, that they would honestly think that they got it all the way to heaven. And they would honestly keep on going as if they didn't need God at all. And they would keep on living life without any thoughts of what God wanted for them. So he said, let us go down. Let us go down to where they are. And let us do and place them by our grace and our mercy. Does that mean that they all got saved? That's not what I'm saying. But he opened the door to show them their false way of living. By his grace and mercy, when God could have stepped back in Genesis chapter 11, when God could have stepped back and said, okay, let's see how far you get with it. Okay, I'm done. You don't even think you need me anymore. I'm finished. You'll soon find out you need me. And sit over here and watch them as helpless and depraved and wicked as man was here and still is, seeing them going towards a life of utter damnation and destruction. But don't you see his love and his mercy? When God steps up and says, look at them poor creatures. He's talking to himself here. Look at them poor creatures. They think they can do it without us. They think they don't need us. Look how sinful. What are we going to do about it? Let us go down to them. And let us, by grace, confound their language. Scatter them abroad. Put them back to ground zero. And maybe they'll see their need and turn to us this time. Do you see what I'm trying to get across here? This is what I see when we come to the end of these first 11 verses or 9 verses, whatever it is. God has mercy and grace. Aren't you glad that when we in our sin and our depraved heart could not get to God, God came to us. Aren't you glad he came to you, friend? That's what we learn from this. All right? Now, these people had revealed their arrogant, defiant, rebellious attitude of man against God. Man has lived in rebellion and sinful ambition against God all along. However, our great God came down and inspected this work. He confused their language, showed them grace and mercy. And we serve a God who will not share his glory with another and has shown great love to mankind. By when we couldn't come to him, he came down to us. And may the Lord help us to praise his holy, worthy name tonight for his exalted goodness in our life. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Thank you for what we learn in these verses. We learn that in the land of Shinar, there was sinful ambition against you. There was sovereign inspection by you. There was speech confusion brought on by your grace and your mercy. Help us to apply this to our lives and learn from it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask 3 questions tonight. God helping me just to stay with that. As they begin to play through softly, here's the 3 questions. I know it's a Sunday night service. And I realize that typically speaking, all of those who are in Sunday night service many times are all professing Christians. But I do not want to take that for granted. So I ask you tonight, question number one. Are you trying to get to heaven your own way? These people were. Are you? If you are, you'll never make it. Only if you come by the way of the cross. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how Jesus loves you and died for you. He wants to save you. Question number two. Do you know somebody trying to get to heaven some other way? Maybe you're saved and you know that, but maybe you're associated with somebody who's trying to get there some other way. Matter of fact, if you know somebody like that, would you raise your hand? You know somebody trying to get to heaven some other way? I mean, you personally know these people. Yes, yes, yes. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Since it's not a question about you personally, you're raising your hand about somebody else. I don't mind getting you to look at me because you shouldn't be embarrassed to do that, because I'm talking about somebody that you know, not you yourself. Do you understand this text? Do you understand how it's applied? I know not a typical Sunday night sermon, but we're just studying through books and we're just hitting things as we get to them. God has us here for a reason. To show us that there is only one way. And just like they were back in this day, they're still trying to get to Him some other way. Maybe tonight you want to come. I'm not telling all of you to come. If God's in it, you might be the only one praying for that person that you raised your hand for. I don't know that, but maybe you are. Don't you come and ask God to give you wisdom. Boldness, discernment, wisdom. Friends, listen, there's some of you who are looking at me for somebody that maybe you've been burdened about for years and you just don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do. God does. Maybe a personal letter written by you or something. Keep church out of it. Say, listen, this is not coming. This has come from my heart to you. And I just want to share with you, I'm burdened for you. Because the Bible says there's one way. Maybe you want to come in just a moment and pray for these people. Pray for them. Ask God to snap the blindfold off their eyes. I hope you'll come in just a moment. Question number three. Are you as a Christian living in submission to the commands of God? This whole Tower of Babel started when they had a command of God to scatter out and replenish the earth. They did not want to do that. They wanted to stay together. They had their own plans, their own agenda, their own choices, and they said, I don't want what God wants. I'm not submitting in this area. Is there an area in your life that you're not submitting to God? Is there a tower that you're building in your life? Is there a Tower of Babel that you're erecting in your own heart? Saying, in that area, my answer's no. Why don't we come and ask God to help us say yes? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help us tonight. Help those who know people who are relying on other things to come. Help those who may need to come and submit to something to come. Help those who may be here trying to get to heaven their own way, see their own error, and come and be saved tonight. Father, help them, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. Why don't many of you come and pray for those people that you're burdened for? Why don't some of you come and say, God, help me to submit to you in this area? Some of you need to come and say, God, snap the blindfold off of that person. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Some have already responded. You come. Would you do it? Come
talk to God. Jesus, I surrender.
Talk to the Lord.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender.
It's time for you if you're not sure you're saved. Come talk to us. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved tonight. Sing on, Brother Gary. People are responding. Praise the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender
all. Still standing, they're playing through. You can look this way. We're dealing with one here, and people have responded. Aren't you glad somebody gave you the truth tonight, friends? You could have been born in another part of the world and never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody gave you the gospel. We need to get it out, no question about it. The young man that went out this morning, I don't think they're back tonight, but went out this morning, 9 years old. They took him downstairs. He came back up and he said he got saved today. He prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him. That's Mr. and Mrs. Phipps' grandson. That's a blessing. No question about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is Elizabeth Radford. If you'll stand, your mom and dad can stand with you there. Precious family that's just joined with us. Elizabeth, she knows she's been saved. You have trusted Christ as your Savior. But she's never been baptized. She's never been immersed. She wants to be baptized. Follow the Lord and believer's baptism. You'll join the church at the same time by baptism. We have a baptismal service, I believe, the last Sunday this month. Just pay attention to the bulletin, all that kind of stuff. That'll be good. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive her by baptism? Could I get a motion that we receive her? Brother Archer and Brother Leroy, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. If your folks will stay right there, I'm sure our folks want to come and greet you and so on. That'll be great. Wonderful. If you're a visitor tonight, let me remind you to take your visitor's card out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. I want to go ahead and dismiss all of our pastoral staff who is going over to the newcomers fellowship. And all the newcomers, as soon as we dismiss, if you'll just make your way to the gymnasium, there is a Sunday school class over there, it'll be obvious, in the gymnasium, and we will have our time together there. Remind you about the Outdoorsman Wild Beast Feast this Saturday at 6 o'clock. We'll have a vehicle here at 5:30 for those who want to ride out there. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless it now. Bless this evening. Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If some of you want to come down here and shake this family's hand, tell them we're glad to have them here. God bless them.